Welcome to another teaching from Spirit of God Ministries Worldwide. We pray that this blesses you greatly. Here is today's message in progress.
I have life to give you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Am I on though? It's on, right? The Lord is saying, I have so much life to give you. And while we were just listening to the worship and worshiping Him, I saw gold rain, like coming down in a circular area. And I felt like if we open our spirit, if I just open to Him, you know, sometimes He gives us stuff before we understand it intellectually. You know, sometimes we receive it by faith and then we come to understand, oh, I got this or I got that. Many years ago, I was preaching in Bristol at one of Lori's meetings, and I heard myself say, the Lord was saying, some of my people are really good givers. They know how to give, but they don't know how to receive. And that sentence has come to mean a lot to me. And I've come to understand over the years that He has released so much more than we have received. And if we don't know it, we spend our lives asking for things He's already given, and then He wants us to freely receive. And when I saw this rain, I felt like there's much more. Even today, I feel like we're here today to receive from Him. That there's people in here, some of you are worried and hurting and have misunderstandings. Even misunderstandings with God and about God, not understanding why things are happening. But He said, I have a plan that's higher than your plan. And I know what I'm doing. I'm not asking you to fix it. I'm asking you to come to Me and find My plan, and we will fix it. I'm releasing some things. I'm releasing some things from heaven, He says. Because of the season you're in, you need some things. You need to receive more of heaven into the earth. Even the knowledge of how to operate. So if you know how to receive today, just start pulling on the Spirit of God. I'm increasing some of you. I'm increasing some of you in the Spirit. Some of you are mighty in prayer. Others of you are mighty in the Word. But I'm increasing you in the Spirit. In the Spirit and in truth. I want you I'm actually seeing an opening, like an increasing. Because you're going to need to operate more strongly in the realm of the Spirit than you do today. You'll need to hear more quickly than you do. Some of you fast and pray for days to hear a word from God, and that is good. But I want you to find the place of the new normal, which is you just hear from Me all the time. You'll know, turn right, stop here. I want to increase you to a place where that is normal for you. And don't say, oh no, not me, it doesn't work that way for me. Yes, it does, he says. He says. I'm increasing you. So turn away thoughts that say, oh, that's never worked for me. Well, how about now? Because I'm in a mood to speak to my kids. I'm in the mood to tell my children what to do and when to do it and help them. That's how you master every situation. Every situation. Every situation, even those situations in the natural. I don't care if it's a bill or broken plumbing. I don't care if it's an issue with your basement or something on your roof. Don't just ask me about spiritual things. I'm a master of all things, and I desire to help you with the daily affairs of life. And I'm very good at it, by the way, he says. But you have to learn to trust me that I do know better than you. I do know what to do. And I do want what's best for you and your children and your family. And I will always do what's best. Always. You can trust me, says the Lord. So I want to train up a listening people. Yes, I love a praying people. Yes, I love word people. Love, love, love. But what I desire in this day is a listening people. I want a people so tuned in, fine-tuning, very fine-tuning, and I'm removing something. I see him taking something out of someone's soul area. It's a weight, it's a burden, it's a worry, it's a lifestyle of worry, and what I see with it is strife. It's attended by strife, which is doing damage to your life. And I see just like a supernatural deliverance taking place. Just things are leaving. I see rage leaving. This person that I'm talking to, rage has been a form of like self-defense and almost like go on the offense before you get hurt again because you were so badly wounded and so badly treated. And it became a way of life, and I do understand, he says. There's no condemnation whatsoever. And that it's been like a defensive survival technique, the Lord is saying. But he's saying this, he's saying, you no longer need it because I am your defense now. And he says, I know your identity. See, someone tried to steal your identity from you. Just talking to one person, okay? They tried to steal who you were. They tried to steal your manhood. They try to take away the goodness of God and the knowledge of who you are. But God says, I know your true identity. And I'm raising up the real man that's been in there all these years. And that real man needs no defense. God's saying, I am raising up the real you, and you won't have to apologize for who he is, and you won't have to defend his identity with anger, because it'll be the real you made in the image of God. And that person will receive respect. See, I know what I'm doing, and when I created you, God says, I don't create a mess. I created perfection in the Spirit. And in the Spirit, you look like me. And so you won't have to defend yourself anymore. And so right now, I just unhook that any rage, anger, or defensiveness. And I command it to leave in the name of Jesus. And no more will you have to rely on that to defend you, because God says, I will defend you. By the way, he says, I'm very proud of you. People have not understood you, but he says, I do. You're not so different from me. Not really. I'm very proud of you. You're my son. You're my son. That's what he's saying. You're my son. I see rivers washing stuff away. It's a new day. This is a holy thing. God's doing a holy work. I've seen a picture of the Ark of the Covenant as though it were opening, and as though he were revealing the Word of God and the manna and Aaron's rod that budded. He's bringing forth some holy things for his children in this day. He said, I did not create you to fail. I did not create you to be defeated. I created you to walk in great victory, but it's not in your strength. It's in my strength, and my strength never fails. See, just a river washing debris away. And I saw this debris just washing down the river, and I saw that the debris was what you have thought of yourself, what people told you and what you received that is not of me, says the Lord. It is debris, rubbish, garbage. It is not what I say about you, and I want it gone. You have disrespected yourself. And I understand why. And it's because you were disrespected by others, so you didn't know what else to believe. But he said, that's garbage. You're not garbage. That's garbage. You're my son. I'm very proud of you. And I'm washing away all that stuff. And I'm making a whole man, one that is to be respected, one that walks in the strength of God, the strength of the Most High, not your own strength. Because no man has strength enough for these days. No human does, no man or woman. But I have strength enough for all things. And my strength will never fail you if you stay in me. Stay in my love. Let your confidence be in the fact that I have given you my stamp of approval. Who cares what people think? I have given you my own seal of approval. And you say, what about my faults? I know about that. Listen, I didn't marry you because I thought you were perfect. I married you because I loved you. And the Lord says, when I'm done with you, you're going to be shining like a light. You'll shine with the light of God, and people will say, where did you come from? How did you get this way? You don't seem like you used to seem. What happened? And you say, well, I learned how to let God shine through me. I learned how to lay my own strength down and let His strength just work through me. It's so easy now that I get it. And they'll say, well, can I do that? And you'll say, sure, let me teach you. It's so easy. Let me teach you how. I'm going to teach you how to do it. Lord says, I want to teach you some things, just you and me. Holy Spirit will mentor you quietly and softly, many times through the Word, many times through something you hear, or something you just know in your inside, in your inner man. He wants to mentor you and bring you to a place of great wisdom and understanding. See, all wisdom, all revelation, it all comes from Him. The Bible says that earthly wisdom is, it's sensual and it's demonic. It's of the senses. It's figured out by circumstances and what you hear and see and opinions of man. But see, the wisdom from above, it's heavenly, it's holy. All true wisdom comes from God. And I see Holy Spirit setting up a little classroom with you. And it's a parable. It goes wherever you go. He's with you wherever you go. He wants to set up a classroom where you can say, you know, how am I supposed to look at this? Or how do I react to that? Or what do you say about this? And I hear him saying, bring me situations. Bring me the easy ones. Bring me the hard ones. Bring the impossible ones. Bring little tiny things and great big things. Bring everything to me. Because I want to set up a life with you. It's a lifestyle. I don't desire just to talk to you once in a while. I don't desire just to speak to you, you know, when you have a desperate need and you've gone to the whole prayer chain and you've fasted and prayed. No, I live in your house. I live in your body. I set up camp there for a reason. You were filled with the Spirit for a reason, and that's so that I can commune with your Spirit to teach you all things. And so we have a lot of work to do, but it will be fun. We have a lot of work to do together. There's so much I want to teach you. There's so much I want to open to you. I want to open all of heaven. You know, heaven, all understanding, all wisdom, all knowledge resides in heaven. It's all yours legally by covenant right. You don't have to wait till heaven to understand heaven. And you don't have to wait till heaven to understand why things happened the way they did or what you're supposed to do in certain situations. You worry too much. You ask too little. Ask more and ask. Ask me everything. I want to talk to you. I want to teach you. I might do it a myriad of different ways, but I promise you that if you meet with me, I'll meet with you. And I'll teach you how. I'll teach you how to hear. I'll teach you how to walk. I'll teach you when to hold your tongue and be spared from that argument. You'll just get a little feeling of, oh, don't say anything. And at first, you might miss it. Don't worry about that. It's a learning thing. It's like when a child learns a new language. When a baby first starts to say their first words, they don't always say them right. And you won't either, and that's okay. I don't expect you to. When first you learn to hear me, you might not get everything right. Don't worry about that. I understand where you're at, and I never condemn you for that. But I long for us, you and me, us, to have a life together built on truth. I'll take the word and I'll open it to you in ways you never dreamed. Words that you have memorized, words that you've quoted for years, I'll open them to you. It'll be sudden, like suddenly you say, I never knew it meant that. That's called the Spirit of Revelation, which is really the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Wisdom is the Holy Spirit telling you unusual things to do to solve a problem. Things you would have never thought of, that are things that are too high for humans. The Holy Spirit, He is Jesus Christ in spirit form. They're not separate, they are one. But He's Jesus in the earth, living in you, in your house. That's who He is. And we've been given an opportunity in this life to do what others wouldn't even dare to dream about. But God has given us legal right and actually is wooing us and trying to explain it to us in a way where we'll say, I'll spend the rest of my life sitting at your feet if you'll just talk to me. He wants to teach us how to hear and hear well. He wants to teach us how to go into the corridors of heaven. There's corridors in heaven. There's great rooms in heaven. Vast knowledge. Heaven is vast. It's so vast. There's so much knowledge there. So much wisdom. So much understanding. And if we start today and go the rest of our life and spend all day just absorbing and learning, there's still so much more to learn. We'll still have to spend time learning in heaven. But the wisdom He gives us now will help us help others. The wisdom He gives us when we sit at His feet or walk in the way with Him or stroll by the park, you know, stroll by the lake and listen or sit in our car and ask questions. The classroom is everywhere you go because He's everywhere you go. He's with you and in you. And He has so much He wants to tell you. And He's so gentle and so patient. And He wants to grow us. Just like if you have children, if you've ever raised a toddler, you never get impatient if they say a word wrong or they fall down on their little diaper butt. You never get impatient with that. You don't expect them to do pole vaulting because it's a toddler. And I think part of our problem is we've seen ourselves as these spiritual know-it-alls, but we really know nothing. That's the honest truth. I don't care how many books we've read. I don't care if you have the whole Bible memorized. We need revelation from the Holy Spirit about how to do life. And that's a fact. We need to understand from Him how to handle everything from raising our kids, marriage, finances, retirement. I have to have help with everything. God had to teach me how to bake. God had to teach me how to make coffee. I made the worst coffee imaginable. No matter how hard I tried, I just couldn't seem to get it right. He taught me how to make coffee. You know what? He enjoys that because it's called fellowship. He's not like anyone else you know. He's not like anyone. He's never impatient. He's always patient. No matter how many times I go back and I say, now I know you told me this a million different ways, but I don't quite have it, the full understanding. Could you tell me again? He'll find yet another way, and he'll give me a word picture or something that I can understand, and then okay, now I think I got it. And then I'll say it back to him. Is this what you mean? See, it's a relationship. You got to learn relationship. And some of you, sweet pea, you never got to have a real relationship with another person. So it's a foreign idea to you to build relationship with God, but that's who he really is. And when we talk about worship is just loving him and hugging him, and you know, it's relationship in its deepest form. That's all it is. It's not this formal thing of saying the right words or, you know, it's just being mushy with Jesus. It's what it is. It's so simple. And when we're learning, we have no real mentor except for the Holy Ghost. You know, people can point the way a little bit. You know, we can try to point the way a little bit. But the real mentorship starts the day that you say, Holy Ghost, I really didn't get that you're my mentor. I really didn't get the full revelation of that. He's the best friend you have in this earth. So your best friend knows absolutely everything about absolutely everything. He knows everything. And so, you know what we do? Let's say we're trying to get a healing. We think of all the good teachings we've had, and okay, we're supposed to make a good confession. And this is true. We are supposed to. We're supposed to read the scriptures on healing. We're supposed to, okay, wait, I'm supposed to stay in faith. You know what we do in our mind, because our mind is in charge when it shouldn't be. And we go through all our formulas and we do all the stuff we were taught to do. But a lot of times we find, well, that didn't work. Why didn't it work? I did this stuff. Well, that's when you go to the Holy Ghost. Actually, it's great. You get in the habit of going to him sooner and saying, you know what? Okay, what am I missing? I'm trying to do the faith thing. I don't know if I'm quite doing it right, you know? Can you tell me what to do? Because what he'll tell you today might not be what he told you last year, because the situation may be completely different. And he never gets tired of you asking. He's longing for you to ask. You know what the Holy Spirit hates? He hates watching you struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and try and try and fail, always with a perfect heart, doing the best you know to do, when he just wants you to say, Holy Spirit, I just don't know what to do. Would you help me? Could you tell me what to do? I just don't know what to do with this. Everything I'm trying, it's not working. Can you help me? I'm so glad you asked. Here, let me teach you some things. And sometimes one question will lead to five different teachings, because he'll like start to build a foundation. He'll bring you into knowledge, and then he'll bring you into understanding, then he'll bring you into revelation. Sometimes it's just one word, one sentence, and you're like, oh, okay. You know, turns the whole thing around. Turns around the way you're looking at it. See, he's trying to help us understand who he is and why he's here. I know I talk about this a lot, but a lot of people struggle with going deeper in him, and a lot of people are afraid of him. And if you come to understand that he is the greatest gift from Jesus, I mean, to me, he's just the most amazing thing. Jesus died for so many things. He died to redeem us. Thank you, God. Forgive us of our sins. Make us a new creation. That right there is miraculous and huge. That you're a new creation. You're born again spirit is perfect and holy. That's amazing. But wait, there's more. He died to release his own spirit into you. That was unfathomable to the prophets of the Old Testament. They prophesied about it, but the Bible says they longed to look into the very things they were prophesying. They didn't get it. How can this be? Right? They said, you won't even have to go to your neighbor to find out what God is saying. You won't have to go find a prophet anymore. That was the law in the Old Testament. You had to go find somebody that carried the presence, and it was usually very few and far between. You had to go find them. And before the cross, you had to go find Jesus. If he was in Capernaum, off you had to go to find out what Jesus was saying. You don't even have to leave your bedroom in the New Covenant. You don't even need to come here. I hope you do, but you don't need to. Because whether you know it or not, you have everything that I have in fullness. But what you may need is just a little jump start in your training. You know who trained me how to hear the voice of God? God did. You know why? Because I wouldn't leave him alone till he did. I wouldn't go away. I'm like the kid that won't go away because I knew there was more. And I knew I didn't get it, and I didn't know anybody else that got it either. So I just kept saying, well, how do I hear? Why do I hear sometimes and not other times? What's happening with that? He would say, well, Holly, you know, we take these long walks, and we would just talk and talk and talk. And he would teach me. Really, I mean, if you heard the way he talks to me, it's like you'd talk to a real slow kid, you know. I mean, really, because he had explained it in ways that I could grasp it. You know? And so God wants, and in fact I'm going to say it, yearns for you to have a relationship with him. And you know what another thing God hates? The enemy tries to use your faults to beat you with so you will feel like God is mad at you and doesn't want your fellowship. Remember, the devil is the father of lies. That's all he knows how to do. And his job is to try to separate you from the Holy Spirit and from the holy place. That's his job. So he's going to beat you with your faults. Well, that's ridiculous. We all have faults. And even though we're working on becoming more holy and more perfect, we're working on ourselves all the time, I would venture to say that probably all of us will still be very imperfect when Jesus returns or when we go home. We'll still have some faults we may not even know about. So if that's going to keep us from Jesus, we have no hope in this life. So we have to accept this truth. I'm going to challenge you to accept this truth today. I have faults, and God loves me anyway. I'm going to make you say it. I do have some faults, and God loves me anyway. God wants to fellowship with me anyway. He loves when I come to him with all my faults. And he loves me no matter what kind of a day I'm having. In Jesus' name. See, now you just pulled out the devil's tinder. He has nothing to... And he's like, what am I going to do now? See, his only hope... See, he doesn't have any real authority over you because Jesus took it away. So his only hope is to deceive you. And once he loses the guilt and condemnation battle, it is so hard for him. He'll try other stuff, but the object of the game is to come into truth so strongly that his lies make you laugh. That when he lies, you laugh at him because you know the truth now. It becomes harder and harder and harder for the enemy to get a hold of your heart when you know the truth. That's why God says he really wants you to have truth in the inmost parts, the inward parts. He wants you to have truth way down in. A lot of you have head knowledge, but that doesn't help that much. Head knowledge is good because it'll sink eventually to the heart. But the spirit of revelation, the Holy Spirit wants it to reveal it in your heart, because once you get it, you'll never go back. Once I got free from guilt and condemnation, it would be hilarious to me, laugh out loud hilarious, for the devil to say God doesn't want me in the holy place. Laugh out loud. Even if I just screwed up. You mean you screw up? Yep, still do. No, trying not to. Working at holiness every day of my life. Every day I work at it. Every day I work at getting more free, walking in more truth. I want to be like Jesus. I want to walk free and holy. I do. But you know, We worked real hard the last 2 days, and I got to tell you, my body was sore from like the neck down. I can't find a spot that wasn't just so sore. And I wanted to just lay in bed and cry. Just out of soreness. And there was a few moments where I got crabby. Now, I'm not a crabby person usually, but I got crabby. Now, no one knew, I don't think. But God knew, you know. And right on the heels of that, in the old days, I would have been like, oh, God, I'm not worthy. Ugh. Now it's like, yeah, hallelujah, not worthy, here I come. God, help me fix that. Help me get free of that. See, because the devil's point is to get you to waste days and months and years outside of God's presence. He can't take you away from Jesus, so he tries to take you away from Jesus. See, he can't stop you from going to heaven, but he can steal your life away through lies, through time distractions. His job is to keep you out of the Holy of Holies, out of the presence, and away from the Holy Ghost. He can't really do it, but the more truth you know, the better armed you are. And so if you can come to a place of really getting to know the Holy Spirit as your closest ally and friend, and it's okay, listen, it's okay if he corrects you. He corrects me all the time, and I welcome it. Because I'm wrong about half the time. You know, I think I know something, and then he's like, excuse me. Pardon me. But I welcome that because I want all that he has for me. And I'm telling you, getting the blessing is so easy. All you have to do is correct whatever was blocking it. We're not begging God to give us blessing. He already has. He's already poured it out. Blessings are laying on the floor of heaven, which is your ceiling. Think about it this way. Picture this. Picture the floor of heaven. It is absolutely covered with the blessings that were poured out. Jesus poured them out. And I'm talking about all kinds of blessings. Every imagined blessing. You know how we know what they are? Through the promises in the Word. They're spelled out. There's hundreds and hundreds of promises that are yours legally. You own it. Jesus gave it to you. It's in your bank account. It's legally yours. Well, where is it, you say? It's in heaven. And so what's blocking it? Your ceiling. What is your ceiling? You have, and I have, and we're punching holes in it, ceiling of limitations. Here's a limitation. I don't think God wants to be with me. I'm not special like they're special or they're special. God wouldn't use me for miracles because I'm not like Reinhard Bonnke or whatever, Edgar Bailey or whoever. That is a lie from the pit of hell, but you've made it a ceiling of limitations. The blessings will not come through a lie. Can't. You say, well, I know God heals the sick, but I don't know if he would heal me. Or I know God heals through people, but I don't know if he'd heal through me. That's a lie. And it's a limitation, and the blessing is sitting on top going, let me through, let me through, let me through. So that is why this truth is such a big deal. Because when you get a truth and you get it in you, begin to reject the lies of the enemy. Begin to see them for what they are. You've been had. When I started to realize this stuff, I was like, I was a sucker. I was had. I bought the lie. Why shouldn't God use me for miracles? Well, you're not worthy. Well, who is? You find me somebody who is. There's no great minister used in miracles that in their right mind would tell you that they're being used because they're worthy, because they're not. And they know it. God uses us in spite of us, not because of us. He uses us because of what, not because of our righteousness, because we don't have any except his. He uses us because of his righteousness that he's given us. And his righteousness in you is 100% all the time. So I don't care what kind of day you're having, you can heal cancer. Amen. I don't care what kind of day you're having. God wants to change your thinking because your thinking is what's clobbering you. The way you think is the biggest problem. If you're battling an illness, your single biggest problem is your thinking. It's okay to do warfare. I do warfare. Yay, I love praying. I love fasting. I love all that stuff. Confession on the word. But I'll tell you what I found. If you have a problem and you're trying to receive your healing and you haven't received it, your single biggest issue is your thinking. So now I don't waste time. I go straight for the thinking. I start dealing with my thoughts. I deal with them. And I pummel them with the Word of God. I pump the Word of God into my brains. I pump it in there. And I pump it in, and I pump it in, and I pump it in, and I pump it in. Do you know what a lack of faith is, really? You know what a lack of faith is? It's a lack of knowledge. A lack of faith is because you don't know the truth. When you know the truth, you'll know. Listen, I'm telling you, I remember the day when I got a revelation of the Word of God. I was a Christian for too many years. Now, I love the Word. I've always believed it was God's Word. I always believed it was true. Always believed it was infallible once I got that, you know, once I got it. But I did not understand that the Word of God literally is how things are held together. All things, this is a scripture, are held together by the Word of His power. If the Word of His power disappeared, the universe would immediately fall apart. This keyboard would fall apart, my chair would fall apart, and I'd fall apart. Because all things, including your body, your mind, your understanding, your finances, everything is held together by the Word of His power. And if you come to understand that one single scripture is all-powerful, one scripture is all-powerful over your circumstances. And if you have faith in your circumstances and you haven't placed the Word of God as being paramount, you'll struggle with faith because you'll be looking at circumstances. I know your Word says this, but the doctor says this, and the bills say that, and blah, 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 see? But there's a growing that we are to do. We are mature saints in here. I believe most of us in here have been around the block a couple times. And I'm going to tell you something. As we mature, we have to come to a place. I want this revelation for everybody, because once I got this, you know, I'll tell you, life gets a lot easier. A scripture has authority in heaven and in earth. And will for all eternity. In all eternity, we will still be talking about the scriptures. We'll be discussing what God has said. We'll be learning more. There'll be classes in heaven. We'll still be figuring it out. Especially the people who never were able to get it here. But I want to get it here. And I'm telling you, I heard a man say, some of you heard me talk about this, but I heard this man say, and this guy has miracles like I never seen. I've seen a lot of miracles. Well, when this guy, I seen in one of this man's meetings, hundreds of people simultaneously receiving miracles. It was like pandemonium. People walking out of wheelchairs. You couldn't make it up. You couldn't orchestrate it. Blind eyes opening, deaf ears opening. People just suddenly dancing that couldn't move before. It was like you didn't know where to look. And I thought, this guy knows something. You know, that isn't just a gift of working in miracles. This guy knows something. And he said this, I've been listening, you know, when somebody knows what they're talking about, I listen real close. And here's something he said, and I believe it's a key. He said, the Word of God is God. And I heard that, and I had to ponder that, because there's a few ways you can take it, right? I'd say, well, yeah, Jesus is the Word made flesh, that's what he means. But I believe what he meant is that he has made the Word of God God to him, you know, along with Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and the Father. See, remember, Jesus manifested himself as the Word. The Holy Spirit can manifest himself in fire, cloud, water, right? I'm not sure it's just a Trinity. You know, it is, but you know what I'm saying. Jesus manifested himself as the Word. But I believe what this man was saying is he took the Word of God and said, if that says it's so, all of heaven and earth has to bow to it. It's a fact. And everything else has to jolly well line up. And he lives that way, and he believes that way. And because he believes that way, it manifests in his meetings. And so when I began to get a hold of that, I realized I had not elevated the scriptures as high as they need to be. I had not elevated them high enough. I'd elevated them for sure, but not enough. And I began to say, you know, just think about this. Take one scripture that's a power scripture. Just one. You know, we fill with a lot, and that is good. Yay, God. But take one scripture. There are some scriptures that are just like the end of the story. That's it. And, you know, of course, you all know one of my favorites is Mark 11:23. But think about it. Think about what he said. Jesus himself said this. Whosoever. That's anybody. Whosoever. You, me, anybody. Shall say to this mountain, be thou removed. Be thou cast in the sea. Shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things he says shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. That means a turkey can move a mountain. That means somebody who's willing to use the principle will move their mountain. And you say, what is a mountain? It can be sickness. It can be a diagnosis about your child. I feel like somebody in here is contending with a diagnosis about a child. You know, it's like they're, I'm not sure what it is, but maybe they're not functioning fully. Listen, that's a mountain. Move that thing. You say, God, won't you move this? No, you move it. God, won't you move? No, you move it. I died and shed blood so that you can move it, you move it. Now that sounds tough, but once I got a hold of this, it actually became easier. Because once I know the responsibility is mine, I can go after it. So let's say that's the only scripture you knew. Let's say you had no Bible and the only one you could remember is that one. You can live in victory all the days of your life and all of earth has to bow the knee to you. You will never have financial problems again if you believe that scripture and enforce it. I was asking God about prosperity one time. Am I going too long?
No.
All right. Hallelujah. Driving in the car, and I said, you know, there's a lot of people that preach prosperity, and then there's a lot of people who think that's a dirty word, and they get upset by it. Well, you know me. I want to know what he thinks, and I want to know how he thinks. So I'm like, I'd like to know your opinion on this. And he said, all the cattle on 1,000 hills are mine. He said, all the oil is mine, all the gold, all the silver, all the diamonds is all mine. He said, and I would appreciate it if my church would begin to appropriate the resources of the earth to further the gospel message. See, if somebody like, I don't know, George Soros or Bill Gates has money, I gotta to be honest with you, we should have more money than them, but not to consume it upon our lusts. But I'd like to have that much to blast, you know, the righteousness through the earth. You hear what I'm saying? And if we're being poor for his glory, we're not going to do diddly for him. So I'm going to be really honest. When I go to God about finances, I'm very bold. But he also knows I'll use it for his glory. I will. I'll use it how he wants me to use it. And I will, you know, God doesn't mind blessing you. But to me, you get one shot at this earth. Why not change it? Amen. So I guess I want to put out a challenge that if we would even get one scripture, it doesn't have to be the one I got. I love that one. There's several that I love. But I've personally taken the challenge. Okay, let's break it down. Will not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Right? So I personally contend for not doubting and for believing. I personally contend against unbelief, that sealing of limitations. You see? So I believe when you leave here, this is what I believe is going to happen. You're going to think something or even say something that's kind of negative or why it won't work for you or why it doesn't seem like it's happening. And you're going to get a little nudge from the Holy Ghost saying, that's a limitation. The Bible talks about that the Israelites limited the Holy One of Israel. He didn't like that. He didn't like that. He wants somebody who has the guts to say, excuse me, you said this, Jesus died for it, it is mine legally, and by the way, I'll have it in the earth. Is that rude? No, that's faith.
Amen,
true. And it actually pleases him amazingly. I mean, I've had some Holy Ghost shouting fits, like I will have this. And I'm not yelling at God. I'm yelling at the earth. I'm yelling at the devil. I'm telling the earth, you line up.
Amen.
I'm not changing, you change, earth. Listen, when God gave the earth to Adam, he gave it to Adam. Adam was the authorized prince of this world. He was. In the Bible, God told him to fill the earth and subdue it. But that's a poor translation. Look it up and do a word study. It's subjugate. Force it. Make it. Command it to come under your dominion. And you go, well, I tried it and it didn't work. Do it again. Well, I tried it 4 times. Try it 20.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Because eventually, when you speak the word enough, what happens is your innards go, yeah, that's right.
Come on.
That's mine and I will have it. See, it's you that has to change. when you get the junk out, you get the doubt out, we have to reformat. And we have to come strong enough so that people get in our face and they're yelling, you know, the diagnosis or whatever the deal is. We're like, I don't think so. I don't think so. My word says this. See, the earth has to bow the knee. Now, the devil will challenge you. But remember, challenging you with persuasion and deception is the only tool he has in his belt. And so you're going to walk out of here stronger, and you're going to walk out of here refusing some of that junk. And some of you are going to develop a Holy Ghost friendship that will last you the rest of your life. Some poor lady was on the phone with me, and she was telling me she's getting in some relationship with some guy who doesn't even know God because it's company and I'm so lonesome. I'm like, well, get me a tissue. I'm trying to be patient and wait. You know, I'm trying to be polite and everything, and she's going through the wah, wah. Finally, I said, listen. You need to develop your... I couldn't believe how blunt I was. You need to develop your relationship with God. I said, I am never lonesome because I'm never alone.
Right.
But you have to develop your relationship. And if you got to go get some guy, and if you think that's always going to be a stroll, oh, we haven't done anything wrong. You just wait, honey.
Right.
You think that's not going to try to happen?
Right.
Trust me, it will try to happen. I have an old friend that says, don't want to be caught in a compromising position, stay out of the back seat.
Right.
That was free. So anyway, hallelujah, Lord, we receive your words. I'm going to make you do one more proclamation. And I know some of you know the Holy Ghost, but I believe he really is, I believe he's really knocking on the door of our hearts today. I'm going to have you say, Holy Spirit,
Holy Spirit,
I truly want to develop a relationship with you. I know that you are a gift to me from Jesus.
I receive you with all my heart.
Teach me how to be a good student.
Teach me how to
sit at the feet of Jesus. By relationship with you. Teach me how to develop relationship.
Teach me how to ask
questions. And teach me how to hear. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hallelujah.
We hope you enjoyed today's message by Holly Bailey. You can download more messages from our store at www.spiritofgodworldwide.com.